I declare the meeting open at 5:30 p.m. I welcome councillors, management, members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. May I ask that all mobile phones be turned off for the duration of the meeting? We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Should there be any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council Business Team after the meeting. The agenda comprises 3 reports from committee, 27 reports from management, 15 of which are confidential, and 2 items of general business. No apologies have been received. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by council, could you please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item? May I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 51 held on Tuesday the 26th of July. Councillor Ong, is it seconded? Councillor Wood, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, that is unanimous, thank you. Any matters arising from the minutes of the previous open meeting? In that case, as at 3 p.m. today, the following submissions were received in accordance with the Council's Conduct of Meetings Local Law 2010. In relation to Agenda 5.2, Planning Scheme Amendment C190 Arden Macaulay, items of correspondence from Jeff Leach and Sam Williams from Urbis, although I'll note that was a late submission. Does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of confidential agenda items 613, 614 or 615? In that case, thank you. There are 3 reports from committee for consideration in the open session. Could I call on Councillor Ong, as Chair of the Planning Portfolio of the Future Melbourne Committee, to consider agenda items 5.1 and 5.2?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Agenda item 5.1, the completion of the Future Melbourne 2026 plan. The purpose of this report is to present the Future Melbourne 2026 plan, which is the community's refresh of Future Melbourne.
Could I call on the Council to move this resolution, please? Councillor Ong, seconded. Councillor Oak. Councillor Ong, do you wish to speak to it?
Just a quick one. We've had an extensive discussion at the Future Melbourne committee meeting regarding this particular matter and the presentations from some members of the People's Jury and also from the ambassadors and the chair of the ambassador. I'm quite happy to leave it at that point. I think a lot has been spoken already.
Councillor Oak. Further contribution or debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 5.2 is Planning Scheme Amendment C190, Arden Macaulay. Could I declare a conflict of interest here, as one of the submitters to the panel report was Allied Flour Mills, who are a donor to my campaign. Can I suggest that that will involve the whole team that is chair of the Planning Committee, Councillor Ong, should chair this matter?
Kiddo.
I nominate Councillor Ong as chair of the council meeting for this agenda item.
I'm happy to second it.
In lieu of a chair, I think we just need to vote amongst ourselves.
Why is this chair so far back? Okay, agenda item 5.2, Planning Scheme Amendment C190, Arden Macaulay. The purpose of this report was to finalise a proposal to adopt the Planning Scheme Amendment C190. I'd like to call a councillor to move a motion.
Thank you, councillor. Can I move a slightly different motion if we scroll down? Thank you. There's a new part one and parts two and three are the same. That is the motion I will move.
I'll second that.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's a long meeting tonight, so I'll try and make this as brief as possible, but I do refer anyone listening to this item to the debate that was had at the Future Melbourne Committee meeting earlier this month. This is a very, very long process, and we're finally at the end of this process. The motion I'm moving is to adopt the amendment with one tweak, and I'll explain first what that tweak is and then give some more general remarks about the amendment as a whole as quickly as I can. Between the committee meeting and the council meeting, further debate has been had about one of the residential interfaces between the declared urban renewal area that is the C190 study area in Arden-Macaulay and the stable residential areas. That is the Shield Street interface in North Melbourne. All other parts of the city of the C190 study area where there's an urban renewal area interfacing a stable residential area, you have a staggered setback above, usually the third story at the street front of the new built form, so that from the other side of the road, from the stable residential side of the street, the building above the third story is generally visually recessive. There are variations to that rule, but generally that's what you have on the interface to C190. At Shield Street, however, after the planning panel has rationalised the areas and provided a one-size-fits-all residential interface street planning control, what we have at Shield Street is from the stable residential side, you look at the third storey, then there's a setback of 10 metres, and the panel was recommending going straight up to 9 metres, and then, of course, another 3 metres could be granted with the height bonus under the provisions of the scheme. I hope that's right, and I'll hear shouting from behind me from the officers if I'm getting that slightly wrong.
Stories, I beg your pardon. Exactly 9 stories.
Yes, it's going to be a long meeting. Stories, thank you. What did I say? Metres? Stories, yes. No, that's a lot more, stories. And so this amendment makes that interface more like the rest of the interfaces. It brings the amendment back to back in line with the exhibited controls, and it basically makes the built form above the third storey visually recessive from the other side of Shield Street. Otherwise, you'd have a street which is predominantly one- and two-storey buildings looking across at 9- to 12-storey buildings, and that is not a sensitive interface. So I thank officers and councillors for the discussions that have happened between committee and council, and I do hope that the minister agrees with the council and not with the panel on this issue, as well as the two other fundamental issues that we've canvassed at great length at the committee meeting, and adopts the amendment in a form that does not worsen the amenity for existing residents and has a plan for open space. I understand and I absolutely thank officers for all of the work they've done between the committee meeting and the council meeting to go up to Spring Street to talk to heads of departments about the importance of this planning scheme amendment, about the state significance of what's happening in the Arden and Macaulay areas, and the two threshold issues that the committee identified just a few weeks ago about the minister should not be adopting this amendment without a plan for open space and the height controls in areas 6, 7 and 8, I think. We really have made the strongest case we possibly can to Spring Street, to the Planning Minister and all of the agencies that work with the Planning Minister, that there are very important reasons why this council is disagreeing with the panel on those two and now three issues. So I absolutely implore the Planning Minister not to do the wrong thing, but to adopt this amendment with a plan for public open space. Without doing that, the built form controls are changing, the population is increasing, and government does not have a predictable and sustainable plan for open space for future populations. But I am confident, based on the information that we've been given from officers and others, that we are getting our ducks lined up in a row, and I'm very hopeful that we are now concluding this very, very long process with a good public outcome. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Leppard. I concur with the comments you've made, and I also would like to acknowledge the work officers leading up to tonight. The important part is that this Arden-Macaulay C190 area is right next to Arden Central, where the government has a major vested interest in, and therefore it's important for us to ensure that the Moonee Ponds Creek area is preserved where we can, and also that the Minister introduced the other part, which is the important part on development contribution. The Haines Street area, which is called, or Shield Street, Haines Street, Area 8, I think that was the controversial part which in the whole process, which now with the amendment that Councillor Leppard's done has brought it back into a a consistent build form that we have put in place in the other parts of C190. And while the height itself, the absolute height is unchanged, but the way that this staggered setbacks will help to reduce the impact of a sheer wall 9-storey or 12-storey sort of rise up from the third level. So I commend Councillor Leppard for the work he's done in that area with officers. I'll leave it at that. Any further speakers to the motion? Speakers against the motion? Oh, yes. Speaker two. Yes, Councillor Oak.
Don't worry, I'm not speaking against it, but I speak to it. I just to reiterate what you, Chair, have said, but also Councillor Leppard, that you know, at the end of this long process, it's been, well, I've been here 8 years, and you know, from the structure plan to the amendment in 2012, and now we're tonight, you know, it's, you know, might not be it, but it is, it feels like we've come to somewhat of an end of a very long process. Like to acknowledge the significant work that the community have put in to their submissions throughout the years, and I really hope that where we've settled tonight, and including the additional amendment, that we are, you know, shown to be taking into consideration not only the amenity of existing stable areas, but the amenity of the future populations. And as Councillor Ong and Councillor Leppard have both pointed out, C190 does not work without open space. You know, the future of the area is not going to work unless people have access to a good open space, and it's really essential that part of our amendment is considered and considered seriously by the Planning Minister. The interface with stable areas such as the Long Shiel Street in North Melbourne, it really is important, and I really thank Councillor Leppard for his considerable work, not only tonight but at the Future Melbourne Committee meeting as well, in really making sure that we're our attention to detail is high, quite rightly, because of the importance of this decision tonight, and hopefully the decision of the Minister in line with our decision tonight is reflecting the concerns of the community and the importance of this area in the City of Melbourne. So I support the recommendation we're putting forward tonight, the resolution with all the amendments, and I too hope that the Minister takes this on board seriously and can't underestimate enough or overestimate enough how important open space is and community infrastructure in C190.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Any further speakers? Would the mover like to close?
Very briefly, Chair. Can I just acknowledge the late submission that came in from Urbis on behalf of two landholders in areas 7 and 8 of the C190 area? I agree absolutely that the large strategic sites to the west of Boundary Road in North Melbourne require further master planning so that the full potential for the public, for the community, can be realised on those four very large and important sites. I think the way to do that is with further work and further master planning, and it doesn't require amendments to C190 at this stage. We've been requested to make height controls in that area discretionary. The panel hasn't adequately considered that, so there are natural justice issues that do come into play. I know that's not strictly true. I'm just simplifying the panel discussions to a great extent given our shortness of time, but I acknowledge the submission, and I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done to continue master planning those large significant sites for the benefit of not only the landholders but for the community at large.
You mean Area 6 and 7?
Probably do.
Okay. On that note, I'll put this to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. I declare it carried unanimously.
Thank you, councillors. I move to agenda item 5.3. I will just in passing remind you that most of these items have been through committee. If we spend 11 or 12 minutes on each item, we're here for 6.5 more hours. I'm sure it was a fascinating discussion. I'm sorry to have missed it. 6.5 more hours. Could I call on Councillor Mayne as Chair of Finance and Governance to consider agenda item 5.3?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. The Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show, the proposed six-year licence is item 5.3. The purpose of the report is to recommend to Council the essential terms of a proposed new six-year licence and to provide an assessment of the operator's performance for 2016. I'm happy to move the motion on the screen and call for a seconder.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Pinder-Mortimer. Thank you, Councillor Mayne.
I'm happy to heed the Lord Mayor's advice on this one. If anyone's interested, they can listen to the debate on the audio from the Future Melbourne Committee. We've debated this one uphill and down dale, and this will just confirm Council's support for a new potential six-year licence for the very successful Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show.
Councillor Pinder-Mortimer.
Ditto.
Is there a speaker against the motion? Councillor Watts.
I would agree with Councillor Mayne. It has been debated, many aspects of it. However, other aspects of it with the subject of my speaking with my colleagues on fiscal responsibility matters, I don't believe that this is nearly tight enough around the CPI, for example. This remains a very problematic event. In my mind, there is no justification for not being as scrupulous as we can be in relation to financial responsibilities, so I'll be voting against this on those grounds alone.
Is there a further speaker to the motion? Councillor Abbott.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. As the mover has said, this issue has been canvassed extensively at the Future Melbourne Committee. At that meeting, I voted against the motion because I objected to bringing forward the process to before the election to preempt the normal course of events, the normal governance framework within which these licence and contracting decisions would be made. However, that decision has now been made by the committee. I regret that it was made in the way that it was. However, we've got one recommendation before us today from the committee and no other. Obviously, the changes to the future terms of the licence with the International Flower and Garden Show are an improvement. And whilst I utterly regret the way that the committee has forced Council's hand on this matter, we do have one recommendation before us with great improvements, and so I'll be voting for the motion.
Thank you. Is there a further speaker to the motion? Mover wish to conclude debate?
Just conclude by saying that with $145,000 coming in as a licence fee indexed, it's an event that we make a very healthy profit on, unlike many other events that we're involved in. So I'm perfectly comfortable with the financial arrangements with this event. An increased bond of $250,000 I think is also a prudent move, and this is a great event which we make money out of. Can't see the reason for not supporting this.
In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Councillor Mayne, Councillor Wood, Councillor Louis, Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, Councillor Ong, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Oak, Councillor Leppett, myself, those against, Councillor Foster, Councillor Watts. The motion is carried. This concludes the reports from committee to be considered in the open session. There are 12 reports from management. The first is the record of assemblies from councils. Councillors, like a presentation. I call on a councillor to move it. Councillor Wood, seconded Deputy Lord Mayor. I'll put that matter. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.2 is the Library and Centres Internet and Network Support Services Contract, number 100060. Would councillors like a presentation? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move this motion? Councillor Wood, is it seconded? Either doubly seconded from Councillor Oak, or there's an explosion over there. Councillor Pinder-Mortimer. Thank you, Councillor Wood. Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, is there further contributed debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.3 is the City of Melbourne Arts Infrastructure Framework. Would councillors like a presentation? In that case, I will declare a conflict of interest because one of the people in this is ACME, for which my wife works. So I might ask the Deputy Lord Mayor to take the chair while I declare a conflict because of my wife's employment.
Where are we? Up to which one? All right. The door's not been shut. Leave it. Okay, 6.3, City of Melbourne's Arts Infrastructure Framework. I call on a councillor to move the motion.
Sorry. Diplomat, can I move a motion?
I'll
just move the motion in the terms that appears on the screen.
All right. A seconder? Councillor Watts. Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I know the Lord Mayor's got his eye on his watch on the other side of the door, so I'll be as fast as I can, but I don't want to let this moment pass without acknowledging that this is the first of its kind arts infrastructure framework for local government in Australia. I'm incredibly excited to be able to be moving this motion and sitting on top of an enormous amount of work that has been done by the Arts Melbourne branch, which I think needs to be acknowledged up front as remarkable. The recent changes to the Central City Built Form controls mean that we are going to be seeing more and more developers coming to council offering arts infrastructure, and we need a framework within which to have those conversations so that we're guiding the construction of new arts infrastructure in the public interest, not just the interests of the applicant. And so this is necessary and urgent for that reason. But this infrastructure framework goes a lot more broadly than that as well. It points out what net floor area we're going to need in hubs and other infrastructure for a growing population. It talks about our current infrastructure and what its needs are going to be in the future, and it sets out suggestions for planning controls, for timelines for council's own infrastructure spend needs, and creates for the first time that holistic framework from which we've got a policy basis to make future decisions about whether it's private applications for development or our own decisions about where to build arts infrastructure. And it is a remarkable piece of work, so I utterly thank staff for putting it together for us.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Watts, would you like to speak to the motion?
Indeed. It's important, I think, that we step forward and create this as groundbreaking policy. The arts culture in Melbourne is extremely important, and I think the officer's report says it very succinctly and well, the way in which this arts infrastructure shapes our city to the benefit of the economy and for the arts community and the community at large. This is very important. It's about time it got the recognition it deserves and the thought and the planning, and I'm very happy to second this motion.
Thank you, Councillor. Are there any speakers against the motion? Are there any further speakers for the motion? Councillor Rong.
Thank you, Acting Lord Mayor. I'm very pleased to read this report and this particular infrastructure plan for the arts, because I think over the years we have seen, and the council has taken some activities in the Boyd School, in River Studios, and we're constantly working with industry as well to look at opportunities. And as Councillor Leppard says, with the new planning scheme amendment C270s, where what we call the floor area uplift component says possibilities, art spaces, I think it's better to have a clear plan and strategy in place within this policy to ensure that we don't have pop-ups of numerous art spaces in the wrong location that doesn't meet the need of what the strategy is saying, and I think that's very important. It's clear in the report that there are a lot of unmet demand. There's a long waiting list in many locations, and hopefully this will help us to find partners that will provide those spaces heading in the future, especially nowadays we're looking for more and more accommodation, and we just need to be able to use it better.
Thank you, Councillor. Is there any other speaker for the motion? Councillor Beverly Pindamore.
Just to say, Deputy Lord Mayor, that this is a superb document and augurs well for this city in relation to the arts sector, and I particularly like its strong alignment to Creative Victoria's Creative State strategy.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Councillor Leppard, would you like to close? Well, I'll now put the motion to the vote, if you will raise your hands, and that is passed unanimously.
Item 6.4 is the Supported Housing Options Feasibility Study. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? Councillor Leppard.
Happy to move an alternative motion, Lord Mayor, if we scroll down. Thank you. There it is. I move that motion.
I'm happy to second that.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Can I thank officers for putting together, again, an awful lot of work in this. Obviously, Council at the budget allocated an extra $2 million in homelessness services or emergency accommodation or other homelessness-related capital works or activities, and are yet to make a decision as to how to expend those funds. What happens here is we're setting up a process to decide the best possible cost benefit to Council for expending those funds. But what I'm doing on top of it is suggesting a further $75,000 contribution to the Salvos to continue operating the homeless drop-in service on Bourke Street. Otherwise, that service may lapse. It is obviously something that is in service right here and now, and its service should continue so that we are making sure that as many people as possible have access to the services that they need. But I just want to thank officers for putting a framework together. I think we do need to approach this question as quickly as we can, but also as efficiently as we can. And that means cost-benefit analysis of how we spend the $2 million. It means a proper analysis of the land holdings that the City of Melbourne owns and whether or not that's the best road to go down, or whether going down the capital works funding road for an external provider is the best road to go down. And I hope that that work happens as quickly as possible. This resolution requires these funds to be expended by December 2016, which is less than 6 months into the financial year for which the $2 million stands, and so I think that it is a good, fast, efficient timeline. And obviously, because we are setting up this process here, agenda item 7.2 must lapse because it is no longer relevant.
Could I just ask, as the seconder, I seconded this on the basis that $75,000 was coming out of the $2 million corpus. Is that the move as understanding?
That's right. And in the context of the report, I thought that that would be the interpretation of management. Do I need to change?
Or no, would that be I think as long as you clarified that, that's fine. Thank you. I'm happy to reserve the right. Is there a speaker against the motion? Is there a further speaker for the motion?
Yes, Lord Mayor. I'd like to speak for the motion. I think it's important that the City of Melbourne takes action to address the issues of homelessness that we've seen in the recent street count that is actually doubled over the last few years. And I just like to raise the point that in point four of the key issues, that when we look at those council properties, we need to have a clear in the mind that the purpose of council assisting and getting involved in developing supported housing options is clear in our mind that, in my mind, that the City of Melbourne should not become a provider of supported housing on an ongoing basis, which is, in my mind, is a state government and federal government type matter. Because we do not have any portfolios that look at this area of housing per se, while we, state and federal, have ministers that focuses in these areas. And I just want to make sure that when we come up with a feasibility report outcome that says clearly what we can do as a council and what other levels of government should take responsibility to deliver the outcomes, especially if there's an issue of homelessness and therefore there's an issue of housing shortage, that they should be the ones working with agencies to build them, and councils not want to build that. That's the only concern that I have. With regards to the feasibility, I hope that we do have a good strategy outcome that we can make clear recommendations come the December report. And I can fully support the extension of the work we do with Salvation Army.
Thank you. Further contributor to debate? Councillor Mayne.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I just wanted to pick up Councillor Leppett's comment that item 7.2 will lapse. I don't think that's the case. That's my motion. I'll still be putting up that motion, but I'll also be voting in favour of this motion. So this report specifically primarily looks at our sites. So it looks at our sites, doesn't refer to the Salvos at all. So the Salvos has been added to this, and I support it. I think it's a good example of a holistic response to the homelessness crisis, where we will need to do a range of things. I personally think that there's no way we will be able to spend $2 million in 2016-17 unless we make capital grants to shovel-ready projects, and that will be dealt with in a later debate. So if we don't want to spend the $2 million, this is all we do. Later on, we can choose to do something more meaningful, faster, and actually seriously spend the $2 million which we said we were going to spend in this financial year, not on some long-term project about developing an existing car park in North Melbourne or something which would take 3, 4 or 5 years. So I think we should vote for this, but I think we can make a second more important decision about how we spend the $2 million a little later in the meeting.
Councillor Close, make the point. Well, I wouldn't want to constrain your right. You won't be able to put up 7.2 if this passes, but there is a possibility, and I'd encourage you to speak to our Manager of Governance during the course of it about what you might be able to put up should you choose to do so. But if this passes, 7.2 lapses, but you know, there may, because this is the resolution, but there may be an alternative. So if you wish to do that, I would just encourage you to do that.
If I can just respond by saying this report is not entitled Council's Overall Response to Homelessness. This report is just entitled Options Feasibility Study into Housing. It's just looking at one element of it.
No, Councillor, I don't intend to argue with you about this. The resolution says that 7.2 lapses and therefore it will lapse. If you want ways around that, that's fine. You can talk to Manager Governance. But should this pass, 7.2 in its present form would lapse.
All right, okay. Well, I guess I can only ask the mover to not remove my motion, which is scheduled for later in the agenda, and to allow due process and a public debate to occur.
I believe the motions are mutually exclusive, so I'm going to keep the motion as it's written.
I'll stick with that too. Is there a further contributor debate? Councillor Foster.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. In some ways, I now feel compelled to reluctantly support this. I feel that 9.4 of the motion deserves to be removed as well. I support Councillor Mayne on that simply because 7.2 on the agenda does deserve full and proper public debate that is now being very deliberately curtailed. I find it exceedingly disappointing that that's the case, that we are now left to debate only this when both motions actually deserved a full debate. But nonetheless, I support the rest of the motion in all its substance. It's certainly worth a decent feasibility study in terms of how we do spend the allocated $2 million, although that doesn't mean that shovel-ready projects ought to be delayed whilst we complete that. So I know that that may seem contradictory in some ways, but I think in a practical sense we can find our way through that by saying that had we have gone to 7.2, there was another case to be made. Nonetheless, in debating this motion or in supporting this motion, it would be very, very difficult, I think, for a council such as ours not to give good consideration to how we do act or react and how we do move towards alleviating what is now fast becoming a homelessness crisis in our city. It does deserve full and proper consideration. That's what the feasibility study goes to. I do appreciate the fact that it's been hastened, or the outcomes of it have been hastened to come back to a future council this year. That certainly gives our future actions some immediacy as well, although perhaps not as much immediacy as other motions may have. Having said all that, I think in the interest of time tonight, it might have been nice if the mover had have consulted with the portfolio holder and other councillors. We did have a discussion on this earlier today, and that seems now to have gone in a different direction. May have saved us some time had that not have been the case. But nonetheless, it has my support. It's good to see the salvos getting some additional support as well to continue this important service up to November. Of course, that will again become a matter for the next council.
Further contributor debate? Councillor Oak.
Kind of confused. My main confusion is I'm not sure why supporting this is not about supporting spending $2 million, because I'm reading, and the reason why I'm supporting this and why I'm supporting the housing options feasibility study is that clearly states that this is about a report on how best to allocate Council's contribution of $2 million, and the report's coming back in December, and it includes two groups that who clearly are providing great service in our community in the mix around Vincent Care and the Melbourne City Mission Front Yard Youth Refuge, as well as other opportunities that Council might see with other agencies, philanthropic organisations, private sector, as well as the properties that we hold. It's a complex complex area, and I think that we've all made a commitment, I believe it was a unanimous commitment of $2 million to be spent in this financial year. I don't see why supporting this report means that we're not going to spend $2 million in this financial year. And I you know, the terms of reference and the timelines and the discussion paper that's part of this report, I think, articulate what we called for in previous Future Melbourne committees and future council meeting, previous council meetings, and I think that this is the best way to make sure that we're spending it efficiently, but not efficiently, but effectively, and I think that's the most important word, effectively, and on advice of experts and in a timeline that is fast enough to make sure that we're tackling it in a timeline that needs to be tackled, but also in a manner that gives us a report, or the future council a report, to make an informed decision on how to spend $2 million. So I wholeheartedly support this.
Further contribution to debate? Councillor Watts.
I'd like to move an amendment, if I may. The council business already has the amendment. I'll read it. That council resolves to make $1 million capital grant for Vincent Care to assist with the $42 million...
Hang on a second, that's not what...
Council business has that amendment.
It's for 7.2.
Yeah. Yes. May I speak to the amendment yet, or we're just
one
waiting?
Second. No, not just yet. It's a prefiguring of 7.2.
Yep, it's 7.2. Yeah. She will incorporate that as an amendment to this one.
To this one, yeah. Which she can do. Yeah. I mean, this is essentially 7.2 put forward as an amendment.
That's right.
Correct. Yeah, that's fine.
Good. Shall I speak to it now?
No, you need a seconder.
I'll second it.
Councillor Mayne. We're now debating the amendment. If this amendment is lost, we'll return to the original motion. Thank you, Councillor.
Sorry, Lord Mayor, just a point of procedure. Where is this going in the motion? The amendment is to insert this where? No. Just at the end?
Yeah, at the end.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
A separate point.
Thank you, Councillor.
The points have already been made by my colleagues. We are in a homelessness crisis. We need to move on this as quickly as possible. I believe this amendment allows us to support an organisation which is, as they say, shovel-ready, has a project which is shovel-ready, which will alleviate, I'm hoping, some of the crisis that we have on our streets.
We just need to get the... Yeah. Out. You need to take that council out. And for the purpose of this amendment, you need to take 9.4 out. But then you'll have to put that... Yeah, because if we say this, it's mutually redundant, so I might as well stay. Councillor Mayne.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. As I mentioned earlier... when we voted as a late move at the June 30 council meeting on the budget to put $2 million unallocated into extra homelessness spending, in my mind, that was after there were two projects that had come up that were going to be shovel-ready projects by third parties, which had both done submissions to council. So Vincent Care did a submission to our budget process asking for a $3.5 million capital grant to their $42 million redevelopment of Osnan House and Bailey House in Flemington Road, North Melbourne, which was going to be a substantial expansion to the capacity to take on, and modernisation to the capacity to take on the homelessness crisis. The state government had put in $10 million, a whole bunch of other philanthropic support, and council was asked to step up to the plate for $3.5 million. Now, when we moved the amendment to the budget, in my mind, we had this project in mind, along with potentially other projects, but the comment was made that there was still a planning process to be gone through, and we shouldn't make any preemptive decisions before planning. Then after that, we all voted for the Osnan House, Bailey House redevelopment. Planning is dealt with. So we then have the question of how we're going to spend $2 million in the remaining 9 months of the year. And I can guarantee you, councillors, we underspent our capital works budget by $27 million this year. We are not going to spend $2 million on homelessness by doing studies into our own sites. So if you're serious about spending $2 million this financial year on homelessness, $1 million to this shovel-ready project, which has been operating for decades, which will significantly modernise the facility within the City of Melbourne, which has philanthropic support, has a credible operator, and the state government in for $10 million, then this is the amendment to vote for. If you want to underspend the $2 million, and we're all talk and no action in terms of really putting money behind homelessness, vote against this amendment.
Is there a speaker against the amendment? Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'll also refer to the substantive motion while I'm debating the amendment because I think that's unavoidable. Also, though, I think it's Ozanam House. If we can just make that tweak, I assume the move of the amendment's happy with that. The substantive motion talks about setting up a supported housing options feasibility study in terms of reference, and one of the things that the study is going to do is include a cost-benefit analysis of the potential for council to provide financial support for supported housing projects including Vincent Care and Melbourne City Mission Front Yard Youth Refuge. Now, if I was being strict procedurally about this, I could mount the argument that this amendment is out of order because it fundamentally changes the purpose of the substantive motion. I'm not doing that because I don't want to curtail the rights of councillors to have this debate because it's an incredibly important debate. But there's an important procedural point to be made here, and that is that council was debating a motion to establish a process, a framework within which to make these decisions and come up with the best, most cost-efficient recommendations to this council by December, not by after the end of the financial year with a rollover of capital works funding that Councillor Mayne has just suggested would happen, by December. And so this amendment is fundamentally contradicts the substantive motion should it be agreed to, and so without any reflection whatsoever on Vincent Care, and I've met with the CEO now, and I've been a participant in the planning process that has approved the Vincent Care redevelopment of Ozanam House, and have nothing but praise for what is being planned there and for all of the amazing good work that Vincent Care is going to be doing. However, this is a procedural issue here. We've got a motion on the table which is setting up a process to do a full and proper and quick cost-benefit analysis by December, and the insertion of this amendment is going to fundamentally derail that process, and so it is inappropriate. I'll be voting against this amendment, and it is no reflection on Vincent Care or the astonishingly good work that they do, but because it is a completely different direction to that which the substantive motion is going in.
Is there a further speaker to the motion? Councillor Foster.
Thanks. It's a little disappointing that we're now bogged down on a procedural argument, but seeing as we're already there, just on the point that Councillor Leppard made about the 9.5 contradicting the substantive motion, you would have to argue then that 9.1 does exactly the same thing. The amounts might be different, but we are also anticipating the outcome of a feasibility study, if that is his argument, by spending and endorsing the spending of $75,000 on the salvos tonight. So I'll move beyond that because I just think the two kind of cancel each other out and don't make a lot of sense to me. In the end, I support Councillor Mayne's points and certainly those of Councillor Watts. In the end, we're talking about $1 million to the redevelopment of a contemporary facility that provides short, medium and long-term accommodation to, according to our last street count, 277 people who will be out there tonight sleeping rough. Now, the argument may well be made that compared to a $42 million development, $1 million isn't all that much, and it may well proceed anyway. But this isn't the way to consider these things. At the end of the day, you've got a $10 million contribution from the state government. The state government seems to think that this is a redevelopment, this is a facility that is worthy of $10 million. Are we seriously going to sit here and say that we need to think about this a little bit more carefully, that we might take a few months to consider how to spend our $2 million, when $1 million we could actually authorise tonight, we could say, is going to this important development now to assist the people who need it the most, especially when the state government has committed 10 times that amount, as they well should, mind you, as they well should. Consideration has already been made that it's worth $10 million. How can we say it's not worth one? Instead, we've been tied up on a procedural argument that need not have happened had we have just proceeded with motions with the agenda item 7.2 in the first place.
Is there a further speaker against the motion? Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I don't think any of us would be talking about whether or not the proposal would be worth $1 million. I think that's a bit disingenuous, as it is to compare state government budgets with council budgets. For me, this is actually about process, and I'm quite surprised that the Chair of Finance and Governance would want to be rushing money out the door before we've actually got a robust cost-benefit analysis of all the options that are before us to ensure that the money that we actually spend is going to be spent, and I think Councillor Oak made this point really well, is actually going to be spent efficiently, exactly where it's needed, and to get the most bang for what, as Councillor Foster has said, is a relatively modest amount of money. So for me, the fact that this would come back in December is more than time enough to actually still entertain these proposals, but also to look at the full suite of proposals and to sort of think about this in isolation. I mean, Councillor Foster is the Chair of the People City Portfolio. He knows the full suite of a homelessness action that we're taking, which we take great pride in. Obviously acknowledging that emergency services, that respite, that care, getting people a roof over their heads, these are all the keys that we want to work towards. But I think when you're talking about prudent allocation of ratepayer dollars that the Chair of Finance and Governance should be supporting, as he has alluded to, supporting a logical, reasoned plan to work through, to come back, recommend to us by experts as to where this money should be prudently spent. So for me, this isn't about are these worthy outcomes. Absolutely they are. This is about following due process and making sure we get the best outcome for the dollars that we're going to spend. So again, coming back, highlighting the fact that this is talking about December. If you think you can't allocate $2 million, we do it every day of the week, Councillor Main. I'm very confident that we'll be able to spend the $2 million in a prudent fashion to where it will get best return.
Further speaker to debate. Councillor Ong.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Listen to this. I think all the councillors all make valid points. Now, we all want to do something about this homelessness problem. And there is a point to say that the 75,000 that we're putting in there maybe is also out of place in this one. We could, of course, move that as an urgent motion. But I think the substantive motion and the actual report was talking about the supported housing options feasibility study is to be overseen by an expert advisory panel to consider options for allocating the expenditure. We go down this path without knowing what that expert panel and the feasibility is going to come up. We're basically saying, for an opportunistic reason, we take this million out. That means the report is somewhat hindered in terms of what it can actually propose because we have just cut his budget by half. Some of you may not agree with this, but I think it's important that if we went down this path that we had presentations from officers about what they're trying to achieve, and I raised my issues about that, hopefully we don't become a provider in the long term, but we still need to go through that process and understand the options, the various cost-benefit analysis of which path we should take and which partners we should work with. And we haven't even got to this stage, which is only 3 and a bit months away, and we're taking half the budget away. So I'm somewhat confused as to what is the rush there. In terms of expenditure, and if a good proposal come out of the report in December says we need to spend $1.5 million with this organization and $500,000 with the other organizations to provide the solutions that we will meet the short-term needs. Because you might call the Vincent Care project as shovel-ready, but I know that from discussions going back more than a year when they first came to planning to discuss an idea in what they want to do there. I mean, they were hoping to redevelop that site, and there was no mention that they were seeking council fund, that they were mentioning they're working with state governments on this, and also hopefully some federal government. So like Vincent Care, City Mission, and a whole lot of the other organizations, they do a fantastic job. The problem's getting out of control from the City of Melbourne, and I think we need to understand this and then maybe feed some of the information back into the state government's task force, because the problem is not just for the City of Melbourne to solve.
Further speaker to debate? I'll say something briefly.
I know this has been a movable discussion during the day, and that point was made earlier by councillors. I think I read my last email from Councillor Main at about 5:15 before coming into the chamber. So I don't think we can say that it's unfair that this has been a changing debate. I find this an internally discordant, mutually exclusive motion. You've got the original 6.4, which says we need a feasibility study into things like Vincent Care. And now you've got an amendment which says, never mind about that, let's give $1 million to Vincent Care. So that to me is just internally contradictory in this amended motion itself. And why 1 million? I mean, where does that come from? The arguments I've heard is that in councillors' minds, this is what we might need to do, or the shovel-ready defence that Councillor Ong just raised. My view is that we all want to do something about homelessness. The question is, do you want to do something right now? And I think that we need to be a little bit careful about knee-jerk reactions and stick with what we actually asked our officers to do, and that is to evaluate all of the options, including the models that Councillor Ong has put on the table. I don't know what's most feasible, but if we take $1 million out of this and we later find, well, as a matter of fact, that was not the best spend, where will we be then? And so that's what worries me. The good part is I think we're all committed to making that significant contribution from the City of Melbourne to homelessness, but the reality is we don't actually know what is the best use of that money until such a feasibility study is done. And it may well be that it comes back and says Vincent Care is the model, but at least then we'll have the security of knowing that the work we asked our officers to do has actually been done. To me, just tacking what is essentially 7.2 onto the end of 6.4 just makes it completely internally contradictory. And therefore, I can't support this, although I may be delighted to support a capital grant to Vincent Care. I don't know, it may be one, it may be two, it may be three, it may be less. But until that feasibility study, which the original motion calls for, has been done, to me it's just throwing money because we are all concerned about the problem. And that to me is the worst expenditure of resources, particularly when you think that $1 million in the overall problem may not be huge, but is still a lot of taxpayers' money. So I'll be opposing this motion. Is there a further speaker to the motion? In that case, I'll put the amendment. Those who are voting for the amendment are voting for Councillor Watt's amendment, which includes 9.5. All those in favour? Councillor Foster, Councillor Watts, Councillor Main. Those against? Councillor Wood, Councillor Louis, Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, Councillor Ong, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Oak, Councillor Abbott, myself. The motion is lost. We revert to the original motion. Is there a further speaker to this motion? Would the mover care to conclude debate?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Let me just very briefly reflect on the debate. Firstly, just and one more procedural issue. I do think that the motion that we've got before us now without the amendment that was moved is the best reflection of the informal conversations that were had earlier in the day. Obviously, this is a moving feast, but we do have those processes where when everyone's in the same room at the same time to have a discussion about these things. I think this is the fairest reflection of that, but obviously that wasn't a decision-making meeting, so there's no need to go into the details here and now. Secondly, though, just reflecting on this issue, I think that this has been naturally quite a messy debate because we decided on the quantum of the spend on homelessness before we decided on the decision-making framework. And so people are now using the rationale they had for increasing the homelessness spend by $2 million to guide their decision-making on what the decision-making framework should be, which we're deciding on now with 6.4. So it's natural that we've got a messy debate. It's also natural that we've had this debate because homelessness is something that is getting worse in Melbourne, and we are seeing a crisis on our streets which all of us, without exception, want to address as urgently as we possibly can. That means that we all want to move as fast as we can, and so I understand that speed is one of the reasons why this debate has chopped and changed so quickly. Perhaps this issue has also been conflated slightly by an election, and decisions being made before and after, of course, is an interesting question in that context as well. But for all of these reasons, I think the debate has naturally been messy. What I will say is that I know that everyone on this council wants to move as swiftly as possible to address the homelessness crisis on the streets of Melbourne, and we want to do that as efficiently as possible. I think that the motion we've got before us right now will do that, and so I implore all of my colleagues to vote for it so that by the time we get to December, we can spend these funds as efficiently as possible based on the best policy advice to us.
Thank you. I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? Councillor Foster, sorry, that is unanimous. Thank you. We now move to item 6.5. The online gift register for councillors. Would councillors like a presentation? Could I have a councillor to move a recommendation, please?
I'd like to move an alternative motion.
Councillor Mann.
Appears on the screen.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Oak. Thank you. Councillor Mann.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. So this amended recommendation will effectively establish a voluntary gift register online from November the 1st this year, so after the election, commencing with the next council, in perpetuity, capturing gifts, benefits or hospitality above $150. So a number of capital city councils in Australia and many other councils and state governments and many companies have gift registers as a fairly standard thing. Our new CEO, Ben Rimmer, introduced a gift register for all officers, I think at a threshold of $50, more than a year ago, which raised the obvious question for us: if it's good enough for our officers to have a $50 threshold gift register, why don't we have one at all? So when the local government minister proposed that we all adopt new codes of conduct, the MAV put out a template which included a gift register. So we had an earlier motion that went up, and there was a compromise position which was basically, let's not do something on ourselves, but let's resolve at this meeting to decide what we are going to do. So the amendment that I've put up is a November 1 start. There's no reference to any codes of conduct or any sanctions. So if a future council wants to put this into the code of conduct and prescribe specific sanctions, that's a matter for them. So effectively, we are just proposing with this motion is a voluntary gift register. It's not going to ask our officers or councillors to start valuing gifts that might come from sister city mayors, which would be potentially embarrassing or difficult to do exercise. It'll just be, it's worth more than $150 and it's on the register with more than $150. The only thing which is asking to be specific on is donations. So if you get a $50,000 donation, you don't say I've had a donation for more than $150, you say I've had a $50,000 donation. So that's the only element of the gift register which is asking people to be precise, but on tickets, airfares, everything else, it's just going to be more than $150, and that was a compromise after discussions during the course of the day to hopefully win some support. So at the moment we have a gift register system which is picked up in a very jumbled way every 6 months with our Register of Interests, which is a paper document, nothing online. It's removed from the public visibility, the public record as soon as you stop being a councillor, so it just disappears forever, whereas this will be an online register that will remain in perpetuity. And the current Register of Interests, if you get a $50,000 donation, it doesn't say what it's for, it just says, could be a corporate name, and just says it. So it doesn't have much specific in there. And it's jumbled in with, do you own property? Does your wife work somewhere? Are you on a board? It's a whole jumble of disclosures in the Register of Interests. It's not a gift register per se, it just picks up some gifts, but in a very, very poorly detailed way. So this will be a much better, more contemporary, online, voluntary model, starting from November 1, a good governance reform, and any future council can decide how far it wants to go for those who choose to ignore it and put sanctions with the code of conduct. But this is a very good step for the council that is very proud of being Australia's most open and transparent council to close this disclosure gap in our governance practices by supporting this amended resolution tonight.
Councillor, you've used the word voluntary a number of times, but it doesn't say voluntary anywhere. So should your motion read, management established a voluntary online gift register?
No, I won't.
Then it's not voluntary.
It's sanction-free. So
but it's not voluntary.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there a second for the motion? Councillor Watts. Oh, sorry. Did you? Oh, beg your pardon. Sorry. Councillor Oak.
Sorry. Yeah. We're not talking about the amendment anymore. Yeah, I support Councillor Main on. I've always supported your work on this particular resolution, and wholeheartedly support this idea of a gift register. I think it came at a time, as you said, that Ben Rimmer, CEO, put forward this gift register for all staff. This is at a value that is slightly higher than that. I think it's quite right that we do the same. When you discuss this, struggling to think of any sort of gift or hospitality in kind that I've received as being a councillor over $50, you know, a bottle of wine when you're a speaker or the box of chocolates and, you know, but none of them have actually been over $50. But I think that this is a good transparency measure. I don't see that this is very onerous. But, yeah, support the resolution. So.
Further speaker debate? Councillor Watts.
I'm very pleased to support anything that adds to our council's records for transparency, but there is one point I would like to make. In the way it's been discussed amongst my colleagues, there seems to be the view that certain gifts are made to the individual and certain gifts are made to the council. It is my view that any gift that a councillor receives in the course of their work must be understood as a gift to council. I do not choose to make the distinction between a personal gift while you're operating in your role and a gift directed at council. So this is a very good thing. I'm very in favour of it being online. We really need to rein in the issue of donations and gifts and all of these things that discredit our council. And this goes some way to doing that.
Further contribution to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.6 is the municipal order for dog control in return to Royal Park. Could I have a councillor move this motion? Councillor Wood, is there a seconder? Councillor Ong, wish to speak to the motion? No?
No, Lord Mayor.
Excellent. Councillor Ong, speaker to the motion. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.7. Could I propose that this item be deferred? Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Wood, I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.8 is the Council Works Programme Fourth Quarter Report. I'm happy to move that motion. Is there a seconder? Councillor Ong, thank you. I don't wish to speak to it. Councillor Ong, further speaker to this debate? I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.9 is procurement policy review. Would councillors like a presentation? In that case, could I ask a councillor move this, please? Councillor Leppert, seconder. Councillor Finder-Mortimer. Councillor Leppert, do you wish to speak to it?
Excellent changes in social sustainability and Aboriginal engagement. Thank you to officers for making such wonderful updates.
Councillor Finder-Mortimer, further speaker to this debate? Councillor Ruck.
Well, only I do really want to point out that the amendments, this procurement policy really it emphasises council's role in the way that we make purchases, reflects council's goals and visions around social sustainability, environmental sustainability and economic sustainability. And this procurement policy, I think, really does reflect the way that we operate as a council and should do so in the way that we spend our money and really do suggest people, if they're interested, to look at the policy online because the text around the types of activities that we would support in our procurement decision-making processes around social sustainability and environmental sustainability, I think, is world-leading again. And thank Fu and others who have been involved in preparing this. I think it's a great procurement policy.
Thank you. Further speaker to the debate? Councillor Rowe.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I think it's a great outcome to have these additions and changes to the policy, especially in the area of what I call social sustainability. It's an improvement, and one of the areas probably it's not so easy to try to define is how we support organisations to employ people with disabilities, because that's another area which over time has been struggling to get traction. So I guess in the future we just need to think of how we include those.
Thank you. Further speaker to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 610 is the Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Program Reserve Quarterly Report. Could I have a speaker? A councillor move this motion. Councillor Mayne, seconded Councillor Wood. Councillor Mayne, do you wish to speak to it?
Just briefly, Lord Mayor, to say that we did set up the Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Reserve. The report explains how much funding we've put into the renewal program out of the reserve, and that we have a balance of $9.24 million as at June 30. I might just slightly preempt a coming debate, councillors, about a potential compensation fund for trader losses during the renewal, and point out that a $9.24 million balance in the current reserve for the whole project is rather smaller and rather not close to the up to $250 million that we're going to spend. So we need to think about how many different funds we are creating and the respective sizes of those two funds, and that this is the fund which needs to receive the vast majority of Council's love, not any alternative funds which may be proposed later on this evening.
Thank you. Further speaker to the debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 611 is the management of online events, contract 3550. Councillors, like a presentation. Could have a councillor move this, please? Councillor Mayne? Is there a seconder? Councillor Wrong? Councillor Mayne, do you wish to speak to it?
No.
Councillor Wrong? Any councillor wish to make a contribution? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 612 is the online register of election campaign donations. Councillors, like a presentation. In that case, could I have a councillor move a motion, please? Councillor Mayne?
Lord Mayor, I'd like to move an alternative motion, which will hopefully appear on the screen. There it is. So it's been circulated to councillors this afternoon, and it now appears on the screen.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Watts, thank you. Councillor Mayne?
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I guess this motion goes back to an April 19 resolution of the Future Melbourne Committee to seek a third party to host a register of donations for the coming election. The advice that we received at the time was that we'd be in breach of the Local Government Act if we hosted the register ourselves. And so we requested that a letter be written to the state government seeking their approval to do what we're going to do, and to potentially find a third-party host. Now, management determined that it would be illegal to even ask the state government to provide us with some a clearance as to whether we want to try and do the good transparency thing here of being a pioneering council that sets up effectively a voluntary register to bring some transparency and timeliness to donation disclosure, something that does happen in New South Wales and Queensland but is sadly lacking at the federal level and in Victoria, which has the worst disclosure rules at the state level of any state. So the report has come back to us tonight saying that Melbourne Uni might do it, but it's going to cost more than $50,000 to put up a few pages on a website and to report what candidates are saying about their donations, which was frankly an absurdly large amount of money. So the nimble sort of on the move proposal tonight is to set aside 10 grand to have effectively a quick fire tender process where anyone, civil society bodies, the media organisations, the peak bodies, the VEC, bloggers, whoever, can pitch to our head of governance, email address disclosed, and say how they could host the register for us. Now, some late advice has come in saying that we may even be in breach of the Local Government Act even for causing a third-party website to run this register. So I've made a little amendment there in point 11, which says that council unless specifically advised not to do this by the state government. So I'm sort of getting a bit frustrated, as you might be able to tell, that we're trying to do the right thing here, and we keep getting told that we're being illegal and we're being very naughty, and that people will tell us we can't try and do the right thing in terms of contemporary disclosure. Now, I understand the argument that councils themselves cannot publish material which may impact on campaigns or impact on candidates in campaigns. But it has amazed me how many organisations, whether they be the University of Melbourne or the MAV, who run a million miles away from this question of campaign finance disclosure. It seems to be this murky area which no one wants to get involved in, when in actual the goal here is to be factual, timely and transparent in telling the voters before they vote who is funding the candidates, contesting for their love. So hopefully with this motion tonight, we will get a flood of media organisations or civil society organisations that say, for 10 grand, I'll happily email the candidates and publish whatever they say. And people have been running this smoky about, but the information could be misused. All the third party is doing is publishing what the candidates say. If the candidates want to make up some rubbish or say something that's not true about their own donations, they can do that and that will be published. All it is doing is collating the opinions and claims of the candidates. The candidates can lie if they want. There's no sanction. It's a voluntary register. But how hard can it be for someone to email candidates from the VEC website, so say this resolution has been passed, the council supports this voluntary transparency measure, and then publish whatever it is the candidates say in a timely manner to set a new benchmark, a new bar for campaign finance disclosure. This is Australia. We have one of the most embarrassingly worst systems in the world of federal campaign finance disclosure. It's better at the local government level in Victoria. We do have to disclose things 40 days after the election, not 7 months after the financial year like the feds run and the state runs. But let's try and voluntarily do something right and be transparent and not keep getting told by everyone why we can't do it.
Councillor Watts.
Well, having campaigned for transparency around election donations for many years now, I'm personally dismayed that the City of Melbourne administration did not do what it was supposed to do at the outset with the earlier motion, which says right to the minister. I think the minister may well have had something to say about this, but instead we've had to plough through, turn ourselves inside out, try and try again to find a way to give the constituents of Melbourne some information about donations in advance of their vote. Now, you would imagine, I personally am upset that we have to, we don't have to, we are going to decide to spend this amount of money on what seems to be quite a simple list. I don't like having to spend ratepayers' money on this, but my decision is that they will think it's a good investment if they get to see in advance where political donations are coming from. So I'm very much in favour of this. It's it has been very much debated around the corridors of Town Hall. This goes some way, though, to assisting with a continuing nasty problem in the City of Melbourne, elections.
Further contribution to debate? I'll just make a very brief one. I think it's difficult to conflate illegal with naughty. I don't think they're the same things. We have had the MAV, the VEC, University of Melbourne, BLGA run away from this saying, if it's not verifiable, you can't put your name to it. I'm going to support it. I take issue with the last contribution. I mean, if legal advice says to our officers, you know, the minister cannot breach the Act, I'm not sure of the wisdom of writing to the minister, asking the minister if she will breach the Act. And also, I don't think you can say to government, I'm going to do something that is illegal by Friday unless you tell me I can't. You know, I mean, the advice is before us. We're not, you know, babes in the woods here. The Act is the Act is the Act, whether you like it or not. And by the way, that Act has just gone through an 18-month period of revision and review, and it's landed where it's landed. You know, now, I don't think this will make any difference. I worry, I must say, you know, respecting Councillor Mann as I do, I'm always very wary when Councillor Mann tells me all this is doing is, and I worry about what comes next. I must say that. But look, I think this is harmless. I think it's pretty empty. But look, if that gives people comfort that it goes a step further, then that is fine. My big problem is it is not verifiable, and as Councillor Mann said, there's no sanction. You know, you can say whatever you like, particularly if you're an unsuccessful candidate. You can say whatever you like, and you know, then the world goes on. So I'm not sure of its benefit, but if that gives comfort to people, then I'm happy to support it. Further contribution to debate? Mover wish to conclude debate? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. There are two items of general business, one of which, 7.2, has been declared lapsed by the passing of 6.4. 7.1 is a notice of motion from Councillor Leppett on the Queen Victoria Market Trader Licence Fee Relief, and I ask the Councillor to move the motion standing in his name.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I move it with the addition of two words in the parentheses in para 1.3, and it's on the screen. I move it.
Thank you. I'm happy to second it. Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Now, of course, at the last Council meeting, we endorsed the implementation plan, which in and of itself is not the overarching direction for the Queen Victoria Market Precinct renewal. That, of course, is the master plan, which was adopted the year prior. But what happened with the implementation plan is that the Council moved three amendments. One, keep fruit and veg traders in the H&I sheds. Two, don't go near the Aboriginal declared area of the old cemetery when building underground services. And three, do everything possible to make sure that the impact on the heritage sheds is minimal or nil when it comes to the vehicular entrance and exit to the underground services area, and that issue has been put aside and will come back to Council after a full heritage study and all options are pursued. I think those were three excellent amendments. I did move them, so of course I'd say that. So I thank colleagues for supporting them, but what I've done here in number one is acknowledge all of the updates that have been made to the implementation plan. I thank officers for doing that. I thank officers for having all of the conversations that were necessary after the endorsement of those changes to socialise those changes among traders and other members of the market. And so I'd like it on the public record what those changes were, and that's the purpose of part one. Now that Council has strongly agreed to the implementation plan with those changes, we need to acknowledge the disruption that's going to be caused to market traders during the life of the renewal. And I think that the only fair thing to do is to indicate upfront that Council is serious about compensation or relief of licence fees for traders whose income is affected by... I'm sorry, can you... Not, so is the motion changing? Okay. Just to point out that this isn't part of what I'm talking to. Anyway, and to get the fee relief for traders whose income is demonstrably affected by the renewal plans. This has no impact on financial year 2016-17. No interpretation of the motion can have that outcome. And also, it's up to the total amount of licence fees that Council receives from the QVM management every year, which is approximately $4 million per year. It may not be $4 million per year, but it is up to $4 million per year. This is a significant political statement. We are serious about the implementation plan, and we are serious about making sure that traders are not adversely affected by the renewal. And so we are putting the quantum out there that for the life of the renewal, we are willing to forego the licence fees that Queen Victoria Market provides the Council on an annual basis. This is not the creation of a fund within Council. Queen Victoria Market would be creating this fund, and we would be seeing and willingly seeing a reduction in the approximately $4 million fees that we see from Queen Victoria Market every year. I think the total market rental from all traders and all renters to Queen Victoria Market management on an annual basis is something approaching $20 million. And so this... We don't see 100% of the trader income. We only see about
you know, 15 or 20% of that after the dividend equivalent comes back to us. But the motion says that we're serious about compensating traders. It doesn't set up the full framework. That would need to come back to this council meeting after management has had a discussion with the Queen Victoria Market Board and management. Obviously, QVM needs to own this. And they have the authority to decide how this is set up as well, so that will require some negotiation. What this motion is an upfront statement that we're serious about the implementation and making sure that traders are not adversely affected by the renewal and willing to make serious contributions to those traders where their income is demonstrably affected by the renewal.
Thank you. I'll reserve the right. Is there a speaker against the motion? Further speaker to the motion?
I'd like to move an amendment.
Thank you.
Could we have I'd like to propose an alternative point three, which appears on the screen now.
Point of order, Lord Mayor. This happens a lot. Can I just clarify that if this amendment is moved, we're not debating a new substantive four-part motion.
No.
The amendment is that part three be deleted and replaced with the new text.
Correct.
And,
yeah.
And, that's right. And you have to accept that as being...
Oh, no, I think he's moving. He's not even asking me to accept it.
If he's moving an amendment, then he's moving an amended motion.
Well, No. He's moving an amendment rather than an amended motion. It looks like he's moving an amended motion. That's why there's confusion.
Yeah.
I think the way it's appearing on the screen is not reflecting the debate that we're about to have.
Yeah.
I'd happily, if you wanted to accept it, I'd happily ask if you wanted to accept a different formula for the fund.
No.
Okay. So I did test it earlier, hence I'm moving the amendment.
Then yeah. Is there a seconder for that amendment? Councillor Foster. Councillor Mayne.
Yeah. Thanks, Lord Mayor. Look, I completely support the idea of a compensation fund for the traders. As I alluded to earlier, we only have $9 million in the overall renewal fund, and the wording of what Councillor Leppard has put up could create a trader compensation fund of, you know, over $10 million. It's very open-ended. It talks about over multiple years. It mentions the figure of $4 million, and it talks about our entire return. Now, our entire return has been $119 million over 19 years, so we've been making $5 million a year out of QVM. If you start putting up motions that talk about our entire return over multiple years, you're creating the impression of a potentially $20 million compensation fund for trader business interruption. Around the world, these sorts of funds have been set up before in the $1, $2, $3 million mark when you have a major investment. So, as Chair of Finance, and I've discussed this with some of the officers, I think we need to create a specific amount of money in a specific way. And so all this does is it says, let's set aside $1.5 million in the 17-18 year. So Councillor Leppard's proposal could affect this year's budget. We've already passed this year's budget. So it proposes setting up $1.5 million of licence fees coming to us diverted into a fund and then asking QVM Proprietary Limited to match that by putting in $1.5 million from their existing cash reserves of $6.5 million. So we have buy-in from both organisations. The market, PTY LTD, and the council, both putting in $1.5 million, not upsetting this year's budget, not creating an expectation of $20 million, creating a specific fund of $3 million, and doing it all in the first 3 or 4 months of the 2017-18 financial year, just before the renewal gets underway in December next year. So I think this is a more responsible, more specific amount of money with joint buy-in from both that manages expectations more effectively. I know it has support from some of the other key players I've spoken to about this, and I just think it's a more prudent, responsible way to go ahead. Our main fund, which the licence fees are meant to go into, is the renewal fund. Let's stick with that. We've only got $9 million in it. Let's not create an alternative fund for trader compensation with massive expectations that's going to end up bigger than our renewal fund, if we're not careful. Let's create $3 million for the traders, and then focus on building 30, 40, 50 million in the renewal fund. That's the amendment from Chair of Finance. I think it's sensible, and I hope you can support it, colleagues.
Thank you. Councillor Foster speaking of the amendment.
Thank you. I've got very little to add to what Councillor Mayne's had to say, but I did just want to make the point that in some ways this has been a little bit difficult for me to support some aspects of it I don't support, namely 1.1, but I'm certainly not in the business of blocking much needed and deserved compensation to our traders. who are going to, as time rolls on, need this more and more, I think. So I'm very happy with the equation that Councillor Mayne has constructed. I know just what benefits this is going to bring in the event that it's passed, of course.
I'll speak against it for the reason that I think we're conflating two issues. It's very important that we set up a renewal fund, and Councillor Mayne is right. There's $9 million in that and it needs to be bigger. But it's equally important we set up a compensation fund, which is what Councillor Leppett proposes. The only argument is about the quantum of the compensation fund. And I'd remind councillors, there's no guarantee that the return to us through licence fees goes into the renewal fund. That's not provided by the dividend to the city. So it's no good saying that a compensation fund compounded of the licence fees takes away from the renewal fund somehow. If that's the concern, by all means, say, at the end of the period of renewal, any unexpended funds in the compensation fund should go into the renewal fund. And that would, I think, meet Councillor Mayne's concerns, that the renewal fund itself does need to be built up. I would also point out that given when the building works are scheduled to commence, it doesn't affect next year's budget. It's only the year after that this would commence in my mind. But if that's a way through that satisfies both parties, I think that what we're looking at is something that provides a compensation fund, but that also provides for us at the end of that period of compensation a quantum for the renewal fund. And if that's acceptable to both parties, let's find a way through it.
Yeah, can I just a question on that? If once the compensation period finishes and that becomes a surplus, would that not go into the QVM renewal fund anymore?
No, it would not. Not according to the rules we've set up by the renewal fund, if you recall. We'd have to specifically say so in this motion if we wished that to be the case. Councillor Leppett. Yep.
Thank you, Chair. I will speak against the amendment. Again, I reiterate the point you just made. This is not going to affect the financial year 2016-17. No fund is being created by my motion. It would be created by the amendment. But it's quite clear that the intention is not to affect 2016-17. Three things about this amendment. The part three in my original motion referred to up to approximately $4 million per year. It did not say $4 million per year. So it's a little bit churlish for the mover of the amendment to delete reference to up to $4 million per year and replace it with a locked figure and then argue that I was arguing it was a fixed figure of $4 million per year. The clause that this amendment deletes clearly says up to $4 million per year, not $4 million per year. Secondly, on the issue of prudent and responsible decision-making, my motion does not preempt the framework. The final point in the motion requests management of Queen Victoria Market to work with our managers to come up with a framework based on the overarching principles that are set by the resolution should it pass. What the new amendment does is it sets up a particular fund with $1.5 million from one entity, $1.5 million from another entity, and it locks the council into supporting a particular framework when that may not be the best framework. I would like to see what the Queen Victoria Market and our officers come up with. Finally, on the last issue, when we were discussing agenda item 6.10, the mover of the amendment said, let's not create too many new funds. My motion doesn't create a new fund. This would be something that is managed by Queen Victoria Market Proprietary Limited. That is because they are the entity that needs to manage traders, manage trader license fees, and all my motion did and does is anticipate a lower return to council after that management has taken place. The amendment fundamentally changes the nature of the motion to instead create a fund which is filled, if you like, by the City of Melbourne and Queen Victoria Market, and it completely preempts the process that I'm trying to set up, which is for our managers and for the management of Queen Victoria Market to come up with the best possible and most robust framework that they can, rather than telling them exactly what it should be. So this amendment is far too preemptive of what is to come, and I urge my colleagues to vote against it.
Is there a further speaker for the amendment? Further speaker against the amendment? Okay, in that case, I'll put the motion. Those who are voting yes are voting for Councillor Mayne's amendment, which includes 1.3 there. All those in favour? Councillor Foster, Councillor Watts, Councillor Mayne. Those against? Councillor Wood, Councillor Louis, Councillor Pinner-Mortimer, Councillor Ong, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Oak, Councillor Levitt, myself. The motion is lost. We revert to debate on the original motion. Could we have the original motion back, please? Thank you. Is there a further speaker to this motion? Does the mover wish to conclude? Sorry, Councillor Mann.
I'm just going to briefly speak against it just because of the expectations that it creates. Now, I do agree, and Councillor Leppett did add up to at my request, but I also requested that the figure, that the two words part of the annual return be inserted. Might have been a late email, there was a lot of emails, but I did request that. That didn't get up. So I still read that to say that our return is up to $4 million a year, but we're going to give the lot to the traders. And I'm troubled by that wording. If it had been part of, if it hadn't created an expectation of north of $10 million, then I could support this. And I would point out to Councillor Leppett that I was retaining 1.4. There was no change to that. So, of course, the framework and the detail goes down to who qualifies, show us your audited accounts, what, you know, all that detail. So I'm not establishing a fund. Wasn't proposing to establish a fund. It was just an amount of money far less than this proposed amount of money. It was just trying to be more prudent within your framework. So I think you have misrepresented the nature of the amendment in proposing a very irresponsible open-ended fund, which as Chair of Finance I'm not going to support.
Thank you. Is there a further speaker to debate? Councillor Watts.
Thank you. Obviously, I'm going to support looking after traders' interests here. I'm mindful that they wouldn't be in such a difficult situation if they understood, or we understood, the impact of what the City of Melbourne is going to be doing here. I continue to feel great disquiet and serious concern over the implementation, as I understand it now, and I'm interested in this particular motion that we are requiring our genuine discussions with Queen Victoria Market Management and traders. I mean, what have we had to date? Does this actually, I fear this indicates some of the problem. And I'm also mindful that we're talking about the Victoria Market retail strategy. My understanding of markets is that they are in a different category altogether than conventional retail, and I hope that's reflected in the work that's been done around all of this. I regret that the traders are in such a vulnerable position. I regret that there seems to be a concern about the way in which we are engaging with them. I'm hoping that a motion such as this, which talks about for compensation, is passed, and I hope it to an extent allays the quite genuine fears that the traders have around this whole project.
Councillor Wood.
I wasn't going to speak to this one. I was happy just to support it, but I regret that there are councillors going around firing up fears of traders when there's yet to be any disruption to the market, in fact quite the contrary. So I think, you know, it's interesting that the councillor can support a compensation fund for the traders but is totally against the project. That to me just represents an absolutely confused point of view and probably one that shouldn't be followed.
Okay. Further contribution to debate? Councillor Ong.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'm happy to support this proposal, and I'm also encouraging the mover to just add in the couple of words, part of, as a compromise. I think it's important to, from one perspective, that when you're talking about compensation on a major project like this, there will be stages in this project which cause disruptions to different parts of the QVM. And I think that will become more apparent and clear during the when we get details of the implementation plan for the framework. Because by putting a set limit on it, I can tell you that looking at a lot of cases that we've seen in the media and in reports in commercial newspapers, where companies have set aside a fixed amount for compensation, I would say in nearly every case, it was never enough, and it created more angst and more negative feedback for those who proposed that this was sufficient. I would suggest that with this particular of up to and taking that we are willing to forego part of would actually give us a bit of wriggle room and to be able to use a discretion when it comes to how much compensation should be given to which trader in which part of the market, because we still don't know specifically those details yet. But if you put a fixed number and then you call it this compensation fund, you run out of money in no time, and what are you going to do? I think that's the thing that worries me. And then all the negative feedback, future council will copy.
As seconder, I reserve my right until now. Let me just make one point. I think we're now getting down to semantics. There are three important phrases, stroke words. In 1.3 is the word forego and the phrase up to. And in fact, up to takes in and includes the part of that people wish to include in there. So I think it's just a semantic point. But the most important phrase to me is in 1.4, and that is suitable framework. And that's what we're going to look for, that what they will come back. What we're saying is that's what we're prepared to do. We're not saying what such a fund should be, but we know where a cap should be and come back to us with a suitable framework. I would also say I think the discussion tonight has indicated that we go back to Councillor Main's very good point, that at some point we're going to have to put money into the renewal fund. And therefore, I think, you know, it's for a future council to do. But if this does build a corpus that builds goodwill for traders in that it has a compensation mechanism but provides a corpus which can then be moved to the renewal fund, that's obviously a decision for the new council. But that may be a part of the suitable framework that the officers come back with. And I'd certainly hope that it was, but that's for them. But I would just point that we're down, I think, again, to semantics around, you know, belt and braces stuff. I get great comfort from those three phrases, and I'm delighted to support the original motion. Councillor Oak.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I would like to speak to the resolution and actually following on actually from what Councillor Watts spoke about, and I think 1.2 is actually really important in this motion. I too am, you know, the Queen Victoria Market Retail Strategy does seem like the wrong term for a document when we're talking about the market, you know, and the market that we know and love, but I believe that's the title of the document that the market management is using, so I think that that's just technically the correct strategy, but I agree that the conversation with the traders about the development of this strategy is really key. And it's really key to the decisions made about where traders are before, during and after the renewal. It's really important to the successful implementation of the master plan, is understanding what the strategy is for the market at the end of the process. And so it's really important, that 1.2, and I think I really do look forward to a full briefing at a councillor forum setting out how those discussions will be handled and the status of this said retail strategy, because I don't believe it has been written, and I'm surprised that it hasn't. So I do wholeheartedly support the whole motion. I agree that we need to provide compensation to traders during this disruption. I think that this is an appropriate way to do, and I believe that the up to catches you know, some of the concern about the quantum that might be being discussed. But I really do, you know, really support it, in particular number 1.2, because I think that those genuine conversations that are occurring or might be occurring between the board and management and traders is somewhat distant from us, and I'd love to have a briefing on that said issue at councillor forum.
Further contribution to debate? Move wish to conclude debate.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Very briefly, I haven't seen an email that's been referred to earlier in this debate, and I think that, yes, we are having a bit of a semantic debate, but my reading of up to means exactly that, up to. I don't know that there needed to be extra words. Certainly my intention here is not to give the wrong impression, and so anyone listening to the debate can hear that. So I apologise, I just haven't seen any other email that's been referred to. Councillor Oak and Councillor Watts have picked up on part two and the retail strategy that is in incredibly important. Whilst QVM is a wholly owned subsidiary of Council, we are partners in the renewal program, and I think Council has a very strong interest in making sure that the retail strategy is something that is known about, and so an early discussion with QVM management is of strategic importance at this point in time. Finally, I welcome the what looks like all but one, nearly unanimous support of councillors for this motion. Unanimous support nearly for the updated Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Implementation Framework, and I trust that all councillors voting so strongly in support of the Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Implementation Framework will be constructive in their approach to the renewal from here on.
I'll now put the motion. All those in favour? Councillor Foster, Councillor Watts, Councillor Wood, Councillor Louis, Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, Councillor Wrong, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Oak, Councillor Abbott, myself, those against, Councillor Mayne. The motion is carried. Thank you. I take it there are no items of urgent business because this concludes the items of general business to be conducted in open session. Could I call on the Council to move the resolution on the screen to close the meeting to the public to consider items of confidential business? Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, Councillor Wood, I'll put that motion. Of those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Could I thank members of the public for their interest in attendance and declare the open meeting closed to the public at 7:08 p.m.